This is the Slaughtermouse Files. I'm back, trying to stay in this game. I've suffered a lot, a ton of setbacks when it comes to this game. Some of them my fault, but most of them not. Well, no, anyway. Computers dying, equipment being stolen, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, right now, I have a stripped-down studio. It's called my phone and my living room. You can probably hear my furnace that just kicked on. So I live in a very small mobile home. So the furnace is, like, pretty much in the living room. You know, there's so much going on. It's almost overwhelming to have a podcast. But what's funny, it's not even funny, it's disgusting. Instead of the anti-Trumpers being amazingly okay, in my view, this is how this should go down. Let's put it this way. All right, President Trump exonerated of Russian collusion. All right, now who's responsible for the false narrative, and how do we prosecute these people? We're prosecuting Jesse Smollett for doing what he did, and he's going to do some prison time. He's done with his television show, you know, blah, blah, blah. What about these people that perpetrated this? And, you know, by comparison to the Jesse Smollett investigation, what did this Trump investigation cost the taxpayers versus a Jesse Smollett investigation? I don't have the numbers in front of me. I didn't research that. But I'm sure the disparity is like, 100 to 1 at an absolute minimum. Yeah, I'm sure it costs to investigate the Smollett crap. I'm sorry, I think his name is Jussie Smollett, not Jesse. You know, to investigate his crap. But, you know, he's going to do his time, and that's going to cost us more as taxpayers. How are we ever going to get back this money that this Mueller investigation had to cost millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that could have gone to, I don't know, repairing bridges, updating railroad tracks, cleaning out water systems that are full of lead, perhaps researching green, renewable, clean energy. Yeah, I mean, so many things the money could have gone for. Hey, refunding people money on their taxes even more because they overpaid. Because they had to pay for that investigation. Because a bunch of people that could not accept the outcome of an election committed crimes, essentially. The, you know, the Obama administration is guilty of crimes. The DNC, that's the Democratic National Committee, and the Hillary campaign. They're all, not to mention the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, you know, the deep state. There's crimes going on here. Now, I'm sure Trump, as I've said before, is not perfect. And he's not our savior. But he's, in my lifetime, with the possible two exceptions of John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan, he is the only president that is a non-globalist. If you don't know what globalism is and what it's doing to you and what it intends to do, it's not what you think is. On its surface, globalism, you know, it's a great idea. Everybody can go wherever the hell they want, live wherever the hell they want, work wherever the hell they want. That sounds great. But we don't have a system that makes that viable. And let me illustrate. When you have to flee your country to come to my country, and then in the middle of fleeing your country to get to my country, another country offers you asylum, something's wrong. Because when we look at our southern border, we have a lot of Hondurans, Colombians, has probably a few more countries there whose, you know, names are escaping me at the moment, but Hondurans tend to be a big one. And these people, they come up through Mexico. Mexico has offered, you know, claiming they need political asylum. And Mexico has offered them political asylum. However, they refuse it and still try to get into the United States. Have you ever questioned that? If political asylum is your legitimate deal, why didn't you take political asylum in Mexico? Mexican authorities offered it to you. But that's not what it's about. I'm not going to get into what it's about here. We're just going to talk about a few more things here. God, this is so difficult to talk about because me as a Caucasian, apparently racist for talking about this because now I'm talking about Hispanics. No, I'm talking about people. I'm talking about the human race. And I'm wondering why we don't examine a few things. We have invaded Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Yemen. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. The countries you've invaded that are not at our back door, they're nowhere near what is should be our so-called sphere of influence. Yet, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming up from our southern border screaming to get into this country, talking about how horrifying the conditions are in their country. But instead of bringing democracy to them, we bring democracy to the Middle East. And we're not bringing democracy anywhere. I mean, don't get me wrong here. And I even hate that term because I really hate the fact every time I hear some asshat on the television call America a democracy, that pisses me off. We are a limited constitutional republic. Okay? The Constitution limits the power of the government. The Electoral College elects the president, not the people. This is how the states maintain power the way it was supposed to be. Okay? I don't, you know, read a book, for crap's sake. Read one from a decent publisher as well. So I've posed this question before. Instead of invading Syria, who's never threatened us, yet we've got hundreds of thousands of people, you know, at this point, millions of people pouring in through our southern borders. What's going on that's so horrible in Honduras and Nicaragua and Venezuela and Panama, it's, you know, et cetera, Mexico, that these people have to get to this country? Isn't that something we should examine? Perhaps. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be some kind of fascist dictator, you know, but it seems to me it's more pertinent to us to look at that, and as well, and look at our Canadian border as well. I mean, we do have a lot of nefarious things going on in our Canadian border. We tend to ignore that a little bit because the problem is not as big there. But I think a lot of drugs come over through the Canadian border. I don't think it's. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the statistics here. I think it's more so marijuana products, like, you know, hash oil, hash, honey oil, whatever, you know, these marijuana products. But these days, that's even less, and that's going by the wayside with medical marijuana and marijuana becoming legal, like, damn near everywhere. But there are still things going on in our northern border that need to be looked at. Is it the emergency proportion that the southern border is? No. Does it need to be looked at? Yeah, sure. Definitely. So, my point is, you know, I've always been for borderless countries. I don't have any problem with that. Until you get to the point where you have to flee your country to come to my country. Now we've got a problem. We've got a disparity in standard of living. We've got a disparity in average IQ level. We've got a disparity in culture. And let's face it, the culture issue is probably the biggest issue. Is there a problem with maintaining your culture? Now, I look at, and I just want some feedback on that, but I look at, let's say, the Israel problem, and then those of you that hate the United States, I'm talking to you, Scotty, I'm talking to you, Matlock, commies. You hate the USA. You know, everything it stands for, it's racist, it's sexist, it's violent. And yes, we've certainly had a history of that, much like the rest of the world. Do you think we're just an isolated island of racism, sexism, and violence? Do you know anything about history and the rest of the world? That is universal throughout every part of this blue globe or whatever it is we live on. For you flat earthers, you know, this pancake we live on. For God's sake. So don't give me that crap. Oh, the U.S. is racist, sexist, blah, blah. Yeah, like every other nation on the fucking world. But we in the West have been on the forefront of pushing against that racism, sexism, not so much the violence, but the racism and sexism. The violence thing, you know, with the neocons and the neolibs being in power since, oh, let's say, about the time of President Wilson, possibly even the time of Abraham Lincoln, we've pretty much almost never not been at war somewhere. So, yeah, we can't claim here in the U.S. we're not a violent nation. We're still a violent nation. But we can claim that we ended slavery. We've given women their rightful rights, minorities their rightful rights. You know, I mean, we've evened the playing field playing field quite a bit here. Quite a bit here. I can't say that about Saudi Arabia, Somalia, whatever, you know, name it, you name it. Name any third world country that can match us in at least our human rights on paper. You won't be able to. And I would love to hear it if you've got it. So what's your beef? We're not perfect. Don't measure the founding fathers against today's standards, because those motherfuckers were incredibly intelligent and they debated the fuck out of forming our Constitution and even tried to get rid of slavery. But it didn't happen. So in order to form a more perfect union, they compromised. Because had they not had a union, we would still be colonies of Great Britain, or, you know, at this point, if we weren't the United States, we'd be a colony of Germany, because without the United States, Germany would have knocked the crap out of you Brits. So, think about these things before you just buy into bullshit. And eat locally. Grow a garden. Eat organic. Exercise. Be friendly. Love your fellow human being. Smile at the next person you see. Call somebody that you haven't talked to in a while just to say hello. Thank you for listening to the Slaughtermouse Files.